It's very, very, you are looking at a man who doesn't know how to struggle. I just, and again, you won't blame me. It's what I was taught when I gave my life to Christ. You know, when I gave my life to Christ, someone told me, man, you know, it doesn't matter what you've been through. This is where it all gets settled. I said, really? He said, yes. You know, so pastor would say, oh, he has the gift of faith, you know, but I actually know I had the gift of faith, you know, because of prophecies like that. You know, by the time they tell you over and over again that you have the gift of faith, you begin to believe it as well too, isn't it? So I told myself, I didn't know that was what it was called. So is it the gift of faith? Okay, yeah, man, all right. I have the gift of faith, yeah. My pastor says this, I believe it, then, hey, what have I got to lose? Isn't it? Praise the Lord. And so I was taught, and that looks in the path of God, you know, welcome. And I tell you, before I gave my life to Christ, I was dealt with. I mean, I tell you, I don't want to go there this morning, you know. I went through hell and high water. It was just bad, to put it mildly. Okay? And then I was told that, you know what, in this kingdom, there's a way things work. In this kingdom, you know, God can do everything, and God is above all. So as a very, as a baby in the Lord, I learned to trust the Lord, because I was fed the word. I was fed, and I believed the pastors. Thank God for pastors. I believed the pastors. Believe the pastors that God gave me, that, hey, you will do well. Hey, you'll be great. Ignore the devil. And over the years, those things have now become what you look like to look at today and say, wow, that is the gift of faith. But you see, the gift of faith is a product of the words that my pastor has spoken over me over a long period of time. July 4th, 6 p.m., 1988. Up to today, up to 2 minutes ago, it's still being said over me. It's gift of faith. It's a gift of faith. It's a gift of faith. Even if I don't have it, the fact that it has been said now, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm talking to you about building a solid kingdom life. And I want to share with you four things this morning. Well, I've already shared the first one, the first service, which is the pastor. The pastor. I said there are four things. The first one is the pastor, the platform, the purpose, and the partnership. These are the four pillars that undergirds the kingdom life. Amen. Kingdom life. It's a kingdom life. Kingdom life is the kingdom where things work. The kingdom life is that life where God puts the devil in his place. The kingdom life is a life where God fights your battles for you. Does that make sense? It's a kingdom life. Let's switch that off. It's a kingdom life. Does that make sense? And so there are four things that undergirds your kingdom life. If you understand them, you will produce a hundredfold. If you understand them, you make your journey faster. If you receive them, God will always, you know, the Bible talks about a company of people. It says, while they are yet speaking, it says he makes haste to answer. Amen. When you understand them, there are the laws, they are the spiritual laws that undergirds the kingdom of God. And when you then understand these things, they automatically work for you. Amen. So the sun will always rise, the sun will always set, the moon will always be there. Does that make sense? These are things that God has set in place. There are spiritual things that God has set in place. They naturally generate their own momentum. As we are speaking, the earth is spinning. But you are stable. These are laws. These are things that God has placed himself there. These are things that God brought out of himself to establish. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So it is very important that we understand this thing. So we talked about pastor in the first service. And we said, look, the role of the pastor is very important. It is not something that we try and psychoanalyze. It's just the way it is. And we took our text from Mark chapter 6 and we looked at it in terms of how God said, listen, these people, they are like sheep without shepherd. And he didn't say, he didn't command cars, he didn't command food, he didn't command clothing, he didn't command, he just said, listen, sit them in companies and I will feed them. Amen. But get the message. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is the platform. And so let us take a look at our text again this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we also look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood, sorry, of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Nobody will come to the house of God and want to drink judgment. But you see, so he says, but there are certain ways, there's a way you eat and drink in the house of the Lord. There is a way. There is what is known as the protocol of the palace. There is a protocol of the kingdom. Where I come from, the little village I come from somewhere in Africa, when you talk to the king, the king or the chief, and it just so happens that my family, they sort of wear that crown, you know? And so when people come in to talk to my uncles, they kneel down. You never stand to talk to my uncles, okay? So, the foolish ones among them, when they come to see my uncles, they kneel down. When my uncle gives them instruction, they start arguing. Guess how long you think that person will stay on his knees? The person you are talking to is seated. And you are on your knees. And then you are arguing with him. So the smart ones, when they come in, they kneel down. And they greet my uncle. And then my uncle says, oh, how are you doing? And they say, well, have you done this? Why? You know, he instructs them. They say, yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. So they quickly get up. But the foolish ones, when they come, they say, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. Say, why? He said, well, because of X, Y, Z, but have you considered it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes? And by the time they get up, they are going, oh, oh, oh. Amen. So we say, oh, foolish person. If you understand the protocol of the palace, you won't stay long on your knees. If you understand the protocol of the palace, you won't stay long on your knees. If you understand the protocol of the palace, you won't stay long grounded. If you understand the protocol of the palace, you won't be stagnant. Does that make sense? And so God is saying from this scripture that we read, listen, he said, many of you, when you come to the body of Christ, because there's a protocol that you breach, some even die in the process. Oh, well, you say, well, pastor, people are not dying. At least this year, we've not done any funeral service. We're fantastic. But how many dreams have died? How many visions have died? How many dreams are there that are not being fulfilled because there's no financial provision? Amen. And so you find that, let's look at our second text, 1 Timothy chapter 3. He says from verse 14, these things I write to you, and Pastor Eddie reads to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So he's saying, listen, this thing that we say we believe in is a mystery. You coming into the house of God and be seated here this morning is a mystery. There is a mystery going on here. Do not ignore it. There are certain things that make these mysteries work. There are certain things that operate in the kingdom of God. Say, so be careful. Be conversant with these things. Follow the protocol so you can get mileage for your belief. He said, you ought to know. So some people don't know. So when we're having communion, instead of taking a piece of bread, they take a whole loaf. He said, you ought to eat before you come to the house of God. He said, listen, he said, for this reason, right, will a man leave his mother and father and then cling to his wife? He said, listen, just in case you don't understand what I'm talking about, I am not talking about your marriage. I am talking about church and Christ. I'm talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. And so if you think that all I'm talking about is about bread and your marriage, you say you've missed the point. I am talking about something deeper than your marriage. I'm talking about something deeper than a loaf of bread. I am talking about the life of the kingdom. What will make you shine in this end time and make you become the envy of nations? So we talked about the pastor. I want to talk about the platform. And that is the platform of the church. The platform upon which we are seated right now. How we need to conduct ourselves on this platform. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some things I want to just share with you quickly is that the church is a household. Say household.
Household.
When I enter my church, I am home. Hey. When I enter my church, I am home. The church is a household. It's a family. The church is a family. Are you listening to me this morning? Not just an ordinary family, a supernatural family. The church of God is a supernatural family. Because it is what? It is the family of what? Of God. I am talking about some things you should take in once and for all on this journey. You take them in, you absorb them once and for all. What you absorb becomes a value for you, becomes a value system. Does that make sense? So you do not create value systems every day. You do not. You speak out of your value system. You respond to life out of your value system. It doesn't matter whether you have two heads or three. If you like snort cocaine where I am, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not just programmed that way. Does that make sense? So we live out of the platform of our value systems. And so there are certain value systems you must absorb. And one of such is the platform of God, which is the local church. That you understand that the local church is the family of God. The family of God. It's a family of God. It is not a place we come to fulfill religious obligations. It's not. It is the house of God, the gathering of the saints of God collectively carries the properties of God. Are you with me this morning? So when you hear that believers are gathering somewhere called the local church, you approach them like you are approaching God. I am telling you the things I have swallowed that is so deeply seated in my spirit that can cause me to wage war against any obstacle. When I am part of a church, I am part of God. When I am part of a church, my life is covered. The church of God is a supernatural living organism. Now, when I say church of God, it sounds too far. This church, the local church to you, the local church. Is this such thing as the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is broken down into churches. And in churches, we have families. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to quickly share with you the three characteristics of the church, so you understand how to relate to it. We really need to understand this, because these are the things that form spiritual foundation. And so you see a lot of people, they are in church, they are praying. It's as if their prayer is not going past the roof. Do you know why? Because they have missed first principles. How can you dig a foundation for a bungalow and you want to put a seven-story building on it? And then halfway through, you are wondering why the building is shaking and many of us, we've not laid the right foundation for the seven-story destiny we want to build. So one funny demonic wind, everything comes down like a pack of cards. But instead of laying the right foundation, you start building again. And then you now wonder, oh, maybe it's this church. And then you move on to the next church. And then you start another 7-year building plan. Amen. A strong bond. The family of God is what? A strong bond. You cannot dismember the body of Christ. You cannot. A strong bond. Family means permanence. Family. I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, we are people of God. We all have one father. We all have the same last name. He doesn't see Greek, Jew, yellow, black. No. The same blood died for all of us. The same blood unifies us. If you come into our assembly and you do not pay attention to that unity, it's at your loss. Church means permanence. The church gives you a permanent security. I'm talking about spiritual things here. The church gives you a sense of identification. 2005, we're going to, 2003, we're going to plant a church. My pastor said, go and plant a church. I looked at him, I said, I will go. I said, but I need one or two requests. He said, what? I said, I want to go with the logo of this church. He said, I don't think that's a problem. I said, I need to go with the logo of the church. He said, fine. He said, you can go with it. 2 years later, he called me, or a year later, he called me. I said, oh, whoa. The trustees, they had a meeting and they're wondering that I think I need to change my logo. Because you can't. The logo gives you a sense of identification, and then it's a different church now. We can't have the same logo. I said, bring me the trustees. If you see him asking, I said, bring me the trustees. I said, we have an identification that is beyond what any natural mind can understand. I sat there for 7 years, hard labor. I said, bring me the trustees. When we were praying and planning and doing hard work and we were prophesying and we were believing, did they not remember management law? I said, I can only do one thing. I said, I'm going to alter that logo. I will remove them back the city and I will replace it with the map of the world. They want a difference? They can't tell me it's the same thing. Why? I had a vision. He stood. There were baguettes, you know, baguette bread, French bread. A basket of them on the floor. He held one in his hand. He called me, he said, come. He broke them into two, broke his own bread into two. He said, take, you feed them along that line, I will feed them along this line. He broke his bread into two. He did not take a different bread from the basket. I said, bring me the trustees. The church of God gives you a sense of identification. If you don't understand that, you understand that you will be in this church and spiritually you will not have an identity. So when we say join the church, it is not because we need a head count. And it's not as if you are doing anything anyway. So when we say join the church, we are saying come undercover and have a sense of identity spiritually. So that when the calamities of life comes, if you don't find a nameless being. The church, the local church, this church gives you a sense of identification. Amen. Amen. It is not a place you come to and when you are tired of it, you leave. It means you don't understand kingdom life. It means you don't know God. It means you don't have some basic and some deep understanding of the spiritual structures that undergird your faith. Now tell me, how will God now hear your prayers? That's why Jesus told that woman, he said, you worship what you don't know. How? That's why he said, come. This thing, don't do it blindly. This is not my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toe, 3, 4, 5 times a day. No. You know my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toe? It is my head, my shoulder, my knees. No. He said, come. Come, let us reason together. This is the only faith where your intelligence is required. There's nothing routine about this way of life. Failure to understand the practices of the kingdom of God, you will pay. And so when we say, when you come to church, settle down and be part of a local church. Now that you have come to this church, settle down. It is not for the destiny of the pastor. It is for your own destiny. Because we don't wage war against flesh and blood, but principalities. The devil is busy, we are busy rescuing. He's busy killing, we are busy rescuing. He's busy salvaging, we are busy salvaging. A strong bond. It is a place you come to develop strong bond. Because the anointing that is at work in this hall right now is beyond what your own grace can ever do. The grace at work, the collective grace at work here, right now, what is emitting from your heart right now, it is not in your house. And it cannot be in your house. It cannot be. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why when you come into a family, many of us, we don't have a sense of family. And that's what the problem is. We don't have a sense of family. We have been struggling by ourselves for a very long time. We don't know what help is anymore. So when we come into the house of faith and somebody say, oh, come in, brother, come in, sister, come on, let's work together. You're just looking lost. You don't have a clue. The problem is not that you are lazy. The problem is that you don't know how, don't want to work, but if you don't understand a sense of family. I have two children. When I wake up in the morning, I ask, who is taking out the garbage? They say, him. Who is doing the dishes? Ha. I say, okay, I'll drive the car. Sense of family. Sense of family. Family means responsibility. You must understand that. So you quickly, so how do we know? How do we know whether you belong to your family, whether you belong to this family? What is your responsibility? What's your responsibility? We know families by responsibilities and commitment. True of us. So you see, if you come into my house today, right, you know, you will sit in the living room because you don't know me, you are just a guest. But man, when my sons come home, they go straight to the kitchen. Question, how long will you stay in the living room for? How long are you going to be a guest? The church is where we develop strong bonds because we are fighting wars that you don't cannot see. And you being part of the family is one of the key requirements for you to always stare the devil down at all times. Hallelujah. 2 thing about family, I said a strong bond. Then a love for each other. Say love for each other. Come on, tap your neighbor, say I love you. I love you. Oh, you don't understand. Why are you laughing? It's as if nobody has ever told they love you. I mean, the house of God is where the purest level of love flows. That's why you must be part of the church. My daughter can come to me and say, Daddy, I love you, Daddy, but I'm not taking out the garbage. What kind of love is that? Daddy, I just love you, I just love you, but I'm not doing the dishes. What kind of love is that? Your responsibility is a demonstration of your love. Amen. You know how it is in a family? Yes, we may fight each other every now and then. We may, some of us have very big toes, stuff on the toe is a big problem. Some of us have chip on our shoulder, but after all that differences and ramblings, you are still my brother, you are still my sister. I mean, Pastor, a few years ago, one of my daughters went to do her hair in Woolwich in London, and then she's from Zimbabwe. And then when this, she went to a Nigerian hairdresser, and my sister's from Zimbabwe. When they noticed the way she was talking like someone from Zimbabwe, the hair they would have fixed for £20, they fixed it for about 70 quid. And then she came to me and said, hello there. I said, how are you? It's a nice hair. He said, oh, yes, Pastor, it cost me 70 quid. I said, what? I said, my wife doesn't fix her hair for 70 quid. What shop did you go to? I called my wife. I said, Bola, come. Find out what shop this my daughter went to. And they now told me, I said, you mean instead of fixing this hair for this amount, they robbed you? I went to the church. From now on, ladies, that shop, we're not going there. We're going to run her out of town. When you cheat one, you cheat the whole family. That's why you must be joining this local church and be part of the house. It's not, there's so much and how far your own love can take you. When you have corporate love behind you, and I asked them a few months later, I heard about that shop, it has closed down. You can't steal from me. You steal from any one of my children, you have stolen from the church. Not even from you have stolen from the church. This is what you know what? That is what he did. That's what he died for. For God so loved the world. So his blood is speaking in this assembly. So when you come into the assembly of God's people and you are doing like you are relating to them as strangers, you are at a loss. You are at a loss. That's why he said, how can you say you love God that you have not seen? When I have put people around you and you don't love them. You come to the body of coming to a house like this, your face is so hard, so terrible, so tensed up by you. Relax. I'm so tensed up, you know. Because you don't know that you have come to a solution carrying body. They may not be the one preaching, but the anointing in the assembly. Because a family must have a head. This church is a product of a vision that came about 5 years ago. And it is multiplying, and people are. So when you come, so this family is a supernatural family. So when you come in here and then you don't treat people very well, what I mean by treat people very well, not that you are fighting anybody, but you are not responding. You should be happy when you see people in church. You should be happy. When I turn into the street, not even the church, where the church is, and I have always been like this, I will be excited. I'll be excited. Hey, good morning. God bless you. How are you? A hug, a kiss, a handshake. A hug, a kiss, a handshake. A hug, a kiss, a handshake. Because the solution to my problem, it has come. I'm in the company of great people. Amen.
Amen.
Company of great people. So there are certain things about the body of Christ that you don't understand. To you, you are seeing people. But you are seeing the people that God died for. You are seeing people. We are not ordinary. So you treating any single member. When I say treating, you don't have to voice it. You despising anyone in this assembly, or not responding with joy. You know how some people say well, oh, yeah, I'm very upset, and you are funny. All of a sudden, you see your pastor. Hey, pastor! You see how you can switch? It means you have control over your emotions. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is this. That respect and that reverence, that is how it should be as you approach the members of this assembly. Because that is why he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. You did not feed me because you were looking for the spectacular. He said, when I was naked, you did not clothe me. He said, me? Hey, Lord, not me. Copy. I was an usher in church. Oh my God, I did all. He said, yes. He said, if you have done this to the least of my brethren, that one sitting behind the desk just looking like he's lost, and you walk past them when they came to greet Pastor Eddie, he said, yeah. So you still understand. So many of us, we've already despised Jesus on the way, and they come to the temple and start praying to him. Because we do not understand the principles that undergird what we believe. The church of God made me what I am today. The people of God made me what I am today. I brought nothing to UK. The people of God in my church. The business ideas I have today, the people of God in my church. Great opportunities from the people of God in church. Great doors from people of God in my church. Because I learned to treasure them from my heart. I said the people of God. People of God. One day, a few years ago, when I went in Trinity Chapel, a lady came to me and said, I'm not very happy with you. I said, what have I done? She said, I greeted you last Sunday. You did not respond to me. You just walked past me. I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm really very sorry. Trust me, I am sorry. Please, you forgive me. Forgive me. Please tell me. Tell me you forgive me. Tell me you are happy with me. Okay. Boy, see, it sounded like a joke. But I meant it. When you come into an assembly like this, quickly settle down. I don't know how to do long prayers. I want to tap into the ones that says when they open their mouth, he answers. That is the order I want to flow in. When I'm believing God, for something, he delivers. So I make every effort to ensure that I do not breach any protocol. I rather labor there than to start doing a defensive game. After the devil has come and gone, I'm now binding and losing. Why didn't you just do something? Why didn't you just prevent him? So it is preventive measures I put in place. Amen. I'll talk about purpose very quickly. I have just 5 minutes. Purpose. The church of God is purposeful. And so for you to enjoy kingdom life, the way God meant it, not this one the devil has stolen. They say, we are in church, yes, but you are half beaten. You know, everything is there. There's a reason for the church. I'll read Ephesians 3. It says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, verse 8, Ephesians 3, 8, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, mystery again. Which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Hey, God Almighty. This is the purpose of the church. To show, where I come from, they say, to show the devil pepe. This is the objective of the church. To all intent, that it be made known by the church to the principalities. The wisdom of God. The purpose of the church is to demonstrate the wisdom of God. So when you become part of an assembly like this, God automatically confers on you the grace to operate in a dimension of wisdom that the principalities and powers can never understand. Are you listening to me this morning? There is a dimension of grace that comes, that will be conferred on you. It is conferred. That's why you just can't walk into an assembly of people like of God like this and then just breathe out as well. You can't not do that. You settle down and you'll be a part. As you become a part, God confers on you his wisdom. God confers on you his wisdom to deal with any principality, any power, any spiritual wickedness anywhere. Amen? Amen. Do you understand that? That is why, folks, we have to belong. And there's no need to start looking for any other church. You are here now. We are on a recovery program now. There are too many wastages. God wants to demonstrate his awesome wisdom to principalities. So are you in or are you out? Come on, let's lock hands, let's join hands, let's stand shoulder to shoulder and enroll. And say, God, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means when they are looking for business solutions, they will come to you. It means that when they are looking for marital solutions, they will come to you. It means that they are looking for great opportunities, they will come to you. Wisdom, 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 wisdom. Wisdom. But you can only collect that profile when you have made up your mind that I am staying here. That's why you see that, look at the statistics. Look at people who seem to be always awkwardly mobile, productive, effective, full of testimonies. Look at their service account. You'll be amazed how hard they work in the church. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. God has something in place. It's the purpose of God for the church. And the whole kingdom of God is broken down into churches. And so when you come into that church and you are registered and say, this is my church, this is my pastor, and you stand on the platform of love for that, then he confers that grace, that wisdom upon you. That wisdom is the ability to reason in the class of God, ability to reason yourself out of any predicament in life. You will never find yourself asking yourself, oh, what do we do now? No. As challenges are coming, solution is coming. And faith to execute that solution is coming. Hallelujah. And this is what we feed on every day. It's our privilege. I mean, I've said that. Pastor was talking about our church building. I mean, 50 people. We're 50 people from, including children. If we count the aunts included, everybody, 50 people. We were just tired of being knocked. I mean, at least when you are coming to church, we are not sure whether the door will not be closed or open. Just got too much. And then we saw a place. And I looked at the place. £500 million. I was afraid to divide £500,000 by 50. If I divide £500,000 by 50, even me too, I will run away from the church. Praise the Lord. Divide £500,000 by 50. I refuse to divide £500,000 by 50. I said there has to be a better way. I wish I can tell you right now that while I was praying, the Lord spoke to me at the, I was just having a shower. And the Lord said, do this when you get to church. In fact, I actually did it just to prove to him that it won't work. The Lord said, when you get to church today, tell your sons to come out with £10,000 each and £10,000 each. Tell what, £10,000? Do you know any of them that have £10,000 that I don't know? You, it sounds like that was me. Do you know any of them that have? I said, okay. Anyway, it's your church. When we get there, we'll find out. Just to let you know that this thing, I don't know whether I'm hearing voices, but you have to tell me in a minute because I will just say it as you have said it, and that is your business. So, my sons and daughters here, that was the Lord has laid in my heart to tell you that. You know, if you are willing and want to do it, I don't know where you can get it from. But if you have £10,000, and I want £10,000. If you don't have £10,000, don't call me. Can you imagine that? We are raising money for £500,000. We just say, if you don't have £10,000, just call me, just to show you it's not going to work today. Before I go home, I got about 15 calls. Amen. There's something on the seat you are sitting on. It's not ordinary. The earlier you appreciate the gathering of God's people, the faster your journey. Oh, that one is not even enough. I said, well, let's just try and find out how we're, to do the hall halfway was £250,000. I took the drawing every night. I was looking at the drawing every night. My heart was racing. And one day I came. The man looked at me. What's his name? Phil Loveman, right? He said, man, he said, I just like these guys, you know, I just like you. I said, yeah. Well. He said, oh, I do this thing over a handshake. I called my associate pastor. No, one of the trustees. I said, please, let me ask him, because me, I'm a bushman. Ask him what over a handshake means. So just in case, we don't stand. That's how we moved into the building. We didn't pay for it. The half of it, we didn't pay for it. He now called and said, so what? How much do you think you can just manage to pay every month? As we speak, we don't have, there's no contract. You can't sue me. The only thing I got from him was a quotation he gave us, quote, and quote is not an invoice. Quote is not an invoice, you can't kill me. And I didn't say him yes. I say, I'm saying this so you can understand that your life is more serious than you think it is. Yes, that this church you are looking at is not what you think it is. Yes, there are some things, there are some spiritual transactions happening on your behalf because you belong. Amen. So I'm just like any other member. Doesn't bother me. I've never had a sleepless night about it. If God can't do it, that's his business. It doesn't really bother me. Amen. Amen. And so when they say, oh, tithe, I said, the one who is not tithing, just make sure you have your own insurance policy. So that, I mean, he provided the money for the building. He moved us in without paying a penny, and I'm worried about your tithe. You really think he needs your tithe? Is that what we're talking about here? Your tithe and your offering is the only demonstration and a proof of love. How else do we make sure that you believe in God? How? Think about it, come. Let's reason. The only proof that you can show that you believe in God is your tithe and your offering. Okay. Say, I believe in God. Say, I believe in God. Say, I believe in God. So tell me, which one of them really believe in God? That's why when you sow, right, your seed is worship. That is it. Your seed is prayer. Because you are saying, you know what, my life doesn't belong to you. Yeah. And this is the proof. You don't have control over my destiny, my prosperity, my progress. Here is the proof. And so the devil knows that. That is the hue and cry. So when we say, when we compel you to sow, we are compelling you to increase your faith. That God is more than able to provide for me. That is all, nothing else. Because do you really think he will give a vision without provision? Come on, I can prove to you. I don't have, my accountant called me and said, when the guy asked me, how much do you want to pay? The first figure that came to my mind was £1,000, because that was how much we were paying in the 2x2 we're staying. He said, deal. I said, should have said 500. So since then, that's beautiful as a church. That's how much. So if he can do that, do you really think I should be worried? If I start worrying about church finance, I am saying there is no God. So at least you are hearing from Pastor Eddie and Gateway Chapel. So it's not as if you read the book of Acts. We're not sure whether Paul was sleeping when he wrote it. This is what happened to us. My accountant said, oh, this 1,000 that you are paying, I don't have an invoice. I said, mind your business. I said, because this man, if I go back to him, I tell him to give me an invoice. I now tell him to cough up 2,000, 500, 2,500 pounds. Will you pay it? I said, look, I don't care how you are going to handle this thing. That's your, you are an accountant. This guy has, this is favor working. And I'm not ready to spoil this thing for any reason. Invoice. Did you see a contract? I don't care how you classify it. I don't care. I'm paying that man. I've given my word. I pay, and I don't care. You say, I don't know. Whatever. Come and see the building yourself. Amen. Invoice my leg. My time is up. But Pastor said I can have 5 minutes. Okay, so I have 5 minutes. So I want to talk about partnership. Ephesians 4, verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The church functions on partnership. Amen. So you just showing up in church is not contribution. It's not. The whole body of Christ is made perfect and solid through that which every joint supplies. It says what? For the edifying of itself in what? Love. What was the platform? I said the platform was the platform of love. And so you must love the body. So you must be in partnership to keep that love going. Don't just sit down and you watch the head of the junior church die under pressure. You know, 80, 100 children. And you say, and then you go there, take your own kids and say, bye-bye. See you next Sunday. God bless you. No, once a month, you say, let me also go and sow a seed of my time in the junior church. Amen. You contribute, and your contribution must be defined and measurable. Amen. Kingdom life. Pastor knows. I tell my church as well. I'm a church rat. Any work in the temple to be done, enroll me. If I forget to put my name down, please put it on my behalf and call me. Contribution towards the edifying of the saints in love. Partnership. Put something down in terms of your time and your resource, your availability. Engineer your lifestyle to suit the temple. If not, the marketplace will be very hard. Organize your life to suit the temple, and the demons in the marketplace will bow. That's how we do it. Partnership. Contribution. Have a pastor. Understand the platform. Understand partnership. Your contribution. Because it's your destiny we're talking about. It's my destiny. God does not respect anybody. He said, I'm the one that bring one down and put the other one up. People are constantly being promoted every day. But it's your turn this time around. Amen. There are four things that make the body of Christ work. The platform, the pastor, the platform, the purpose, and the partnership. They suspend the kingdom of God.